The son of former British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher pleaded guilty yesterday to charges he helped supply a helicopter for an attempted coup in West Africa. The target was the tiny nation of Equatorial Guinea and its president, Teodoro Obiang Nguema. Equatorial Guinea has become the third largest exporter of oil in West Africa, a region that already supplies over 15% of America's oil. That amount could double as soon as 10 years from now. Journalist Peter Moss traveled to Equatorial Guinea last fall. He's written about it in the current issue of Mother Jones magazine, and he describes one vivid scene, a parade celebrating the country's Independence Day.
This was really in the middle of the forest. Soldiers marched past, but these were guys who were outfitted not terribly well and were in their mid-40s and, you know, would have a hard time fighting their way out of the proverbial paper bag. And then all of a sudden I noticed kind of marching towards us these people waving American flags. And I thought, well, this is interesting. And indeed, as they marched closer, there were a whole bunch of American flags, and one after another there were delegations from all the major Western, particularly American oil companies, ExxonMobil, Chevron, Texaco. Halliburton also was represented, and they also had some flags as well, marching past Obiang in a parade that was really all about saluting Obiang and the great leadership that he's exercised over this country.
And who were they saluting in Obiang?
They were saluting a man who is widely regarded not just by human rights groups, but even by the State Department, which annually puts out human rights reports of its own, widely regarded as one of the worst dictators in Africa. Obiang has consistently been accused, him personally, and as well as his regime, of being involved in torture and various other human rights abuses. So he's not regarded as somebody who's really kind of fostered much in the way of a democratic culture.
The United States closed its embassy nearly 10 years ago because of issues about human rights. Why did it reopen the embassy? Strictly because of this oil that's now there and available?
Absolutely. That's the only reason. The embassy was closed in 1995 for reasons that included a death threat that had been made, apparently by a government official, against the U.S. ambassador in Equatorial Guinea. Just within months of the embassy being closed, however, Mobil discovered oil off of Equatorial Guinea's shores. As a result of that, there have been a large, large number of Americans and other Westerners who are now working in Equatorial Guinea or offshore.
It is now, I gather, possible to fly from the capital to Texas once a week.
To Houston. It's called the Houston Express, and this is a chartered airline that once a week flies from Houston nonstop to Malabo, which is the capital of Equatorial Guinea. And basically, the only people who are on that plane are oil people.
We are talking about this enormous money pouring in for this very valuable commodity, oil, in a country with, as you write, the average income is $2 a day.
There's really no evidence that I saw that the amazing amounts of money that have been rolling into Obiang's hands have actually been distributed and used in the country in any functional way that has helped the people. There are some new roads, there are some new government buildings, but in terms of things that actually help people, healthcare, for example, education, it's basically abysmal. When I was in this one town in the jungle where Obiang was celebrating the national holiday, there was a government conference building which was very nice and air-conditioned, but then just not very far away was the main hospital. The main hospital was basically empty. There was one small storage room with just a few medicines and bandages in it. Otherwise, there was nothing. It was just a place for dying.
Did you talk to oil companies to put some of these human rights issues to them?
I talked to oil companies. They are not terribly interested in talking about human rights abuses or politics at all. They regard themselves as being kind of neutral players, but practically speaking, they don't say anything against the government because they depend on the government.
Peter Moss, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Peter Moss's article, A Touch of Crude, appears in the latest issue of Mother Jones magazine.